Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With less than 24 hours to go before a partial government shutdown, House Speaker Mike Johnson has arrived on Capitol Hill saying another deal will be voted on this morning. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
Overnight, President-elect Donald Trump doubled down, saying there will be no deal unless Congress extends or eliminates the debt ceiling. This after an 11th-hour deal backed by Trump failed badly on the House floor, as a whopping 38 Republicans defied him and voted against it.
A stabbing at a school in Croatia's capital of Zagreb has left a 7-year-old dead and 3 other children and a teacher wounded. The attacker, described as a 19-year-old, was also wounded. Amazon workers represented by the Teamsters continue walking the picket line, demanding better pay and health insurance benefits. Starbucks baristas in 3 cities also striking. The FAA expanding its do not fly drone provisions to more parts of New York State. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. A former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice denies accusations of ethics violations. The State Office of Lawyer Regulations accuses Mike Gableman of lying to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, disrupting court proceedings, and violations of Wisconsin's open records laws while leading an investigation into the 2020 presidential election. The State Building Commission denies reallocation of $70 million for building projects on universities of Wisconsin campuses. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu said the no votes were in response to a lack of transparency and an inability or unwillingness to answer critical questions about 3 specific projects. And a familiar brand on Wisconsin snowmobile trails faces an uncertain future. Textron Incorporated confirmed that Arctic Cat manufacturing operations are being shut down at Minnesota factories in both Thief River Falls and St. Cloud. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
We'll have a few flurries for a while yet this morning, but the sun will make an appearance by midday, and it will be less windy today. Partly cloudy this afternoon, up to 28. Tonight, mostly clear. 5 above tomorrow, partly cloudy, 20. We're back to near 30 by Sunday. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
99.7.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM 803 on Friday morning. We're living La Vida Loca with Ricky Martin on Max FM.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that girl's gonna make me fall.
City in a funky cheap hotel. She took my heart. and she took my money. She must have slipped me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water, makes you order French champagne.
And more.
Max FM.
Just
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you, 8:12 on Friday morning. Thank you to everyone that texted in for their chance to win in last hour's giveaway. If you did not get a chance to enter in or you want to try again, you can text again at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. to be entered into our early giveaway and our statewide text-to-win contest and to be entered into our grand prize drawing for our grown-up gift list. Those grand prizes include robotic vacuum cleaners, humidifier, luggage sets, snowblower, and espresso machines. You need to have that free Civic Media app ready to go. Text in those keywords at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for a chance to win in our hourly drawing, either cold hard cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Today is your last opportunity to win. Again, it is 8:13 on Friday morning. The sun is starting to peek out. I'm looking outside the studio windows this morning, and I can see that our roads are starting to look a little bit clearer. I know our plow drivers have been out since at least 3 a.m. this morning. Thank you again to all of them. And I do want to take a moment and say thank you to our neighbor, Rob. He actually helped out and did our driveway yesterday and caught part of our sidewalk, so we appreciate that. You know, it's always nice when you're able to help someone out or in that situation because, you know, the plows come through and then you got to try to get the driveway open back up and got a little bit busy yesterday. So it's definitely appreciated. And, you know, we always try to be kind. That's always ultimately the goal in the world is to be kind and help out those around you. We did get our snowblower out last night and did a little bit of sidewalks as well. And then it decided to stop running. So I know what today's project's going to be. And I know it's not going to be watching a bunch of TV or like The Office on reruns on the loop because that may be more efficient for some. A poll found that the average American wasted 110 hours this year searching for stuff to watch. You heard me correctly. 110 hours. That's around 4.5 days worth of time or roughly 1% of your year that you're never going to get back. 1 in 5 people think it's harder to find something to watch today than it was 10 years ago, even though there was way more content now. The most common complaint with streaming services are loaded with too much old stuff you have to shift through or sift through, and 1 in 4 also think there's too much original content being produced. Now, we do have a streaming service, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff to scroll through in there. I would agree with that, but, you know, I usually have a pretty good idea what we're going to watch because I just kind of look at the guide, but then they kind of separate some of the stuff out, and then, yeah, it's like, okay. So, yeah, I get it. I try to go into it, and, you know, we do have an antenna, so that makes it a little bit easier. So we still do a lot of channel flipping in our house, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But I don't know, 110 hours wasted just searching for stuff to watch. That seems kind of crazy to say the least. Coming up, we're going to have a look at our community calendar brought to you by Community First Bank and a look at sports on Max FM.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Our business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. See a business banker at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. Christmas celebrations continue in downtown Baraboo with horse-drawn wagon rides, an opportunity for kids to visit with Santa, as well as carolers on the square. For this final Saturday, Santa will be at the Al Ringling Theater from 11 until 2 p.m. Enjoy the free horse-drawn wagon rides from that same time. And also on Saturday the 21st, it's Gnome for the Holidays with the Family Scavenger Hunt. Celebrate the season with the whole family while you shop over 40 locally owned stores in downtown Baraboo. Join in the fun while shopping with the first ever Elf on the Shelf scavenger hunt. Check out all the details at downtownbaraboo.com. And it's also time for the December torch lit hike on that Saturday the 21st from 5:30 until 7:30. Meet at the Rock Elm Shelter at the North Shore entrance of Devil's Lake State Park at 5:30. Campfire Kevin will be in attendance welcoming guests with his well-known music for the occasion. Be sure to dress accordingly. This will go until 7:30. It's a free event, but you do need a state park sticker to enter the park. And with so many holiday events all around the area, be sure to check out those area Chamber of Commerce websites for all those details.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo.
The Chargers came from behind to knock off the Denver Broncos 34-27 in Week 16 NFL action last night. I'm Bill Scott with Sports. Denver went up by 11 at halftime, but the Chargers scored the next 21 points to pull out the victory. Packers practice in the snow on Thursday as they get ready for their Monday night matchup against New Orleans. Running back Josh Jacobs on why he does not mind playing in the snow and cold.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit, and they kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm going to make you have to make that decision.
12-team college football playoff debuts this weekend starting tonight in South Bend, where 7th-seeded Notre Dame plays host to number 10-seeded Indiana. Bucks are back in action tonight facing the NBA-leading Cavaliers in Cleveland. Wisconsin volleyball standout Sarah Franklin, one of 4 finalists for the National Player of the Year Award, which will be announced today. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
90s and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you. 8:22 on Friday morning. The weekend is almost here. Emily will be back with me on Monday. She's still recuperating. She is doing better. Texted with her this morning, and she's hoping to be back to normal on Monday and joining us again on Monday. So we wish her well, and we hope she's feeling better soon, and definitely miss having her here hanging out with us. It is going to be calendar day's time. It is December 20th, and I do want to remind everyone of an event that's going on in Baraboo this weekend. It is the Downtown Baraboo Winter Market. This is going to be held in the Great Day Building, 502 Oak Street, right below the new Max FM studios. And that is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And there's going to be a large amount of vendors in there, farmers, bakers, crafts, local artisans, and direct sales. Again, the Downtown Winter Market in the Great Day Building, 502 Oak Street, tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., stop on by and get some of that last-minute Christmas shopping done. It is December 20th, and we're going to take a quick look at calendar days, and we have a few in there. It's Sacagawea Day. Let's celebrate one of the most important days in Native American history. It is also Mud Day, and that is spelled M-U-D-D. Learn about the man who was convicted of aiding in President Abraham Lincoln's assassination day. And we also have Go Caroling Day. Once upon a time, Christmas celebrations wouldn't have been anything without caroling. We see all the downtown caroling that happens in Baraboo, so go caroling today. It's Games Day. It's Game Day. Well, Games Day to be precise. Are you going to play a game today? This is one of my favorites. Dot Your I's Day. So let's go out today and finish that job well, whatever that may be. This one's interesting, and you know, I'm a little bit of a techie guy and do some things with TV. It is Cathode Ray Tube Day, also known as CRT Day. Let us honor technology inventions that have transformed our world and our daily lives. And for all of you younger people out there, there were TVs before flat screen TVs. They were big TVs. So yes, it is a big TV. They weren't these flat screen TVs, but yes, Cathode Ray Tube Day. And I have two of my favorites on here. I saved the best to last. National Sangria Day. So grab a cup of that and enjoy it. Maybe I'll do that next. Just kidding. It's not that time yet. It's only 8:24 in the morning after all. And last but not least, you heard it in the show opener this morning. It is Ugly Sweater Day. One thing's for sure, this holiday will certainly have you laughing all day long as you wear those ugly sweaters. So, yeah, get out and embrace Ugly Sweater Day. It's a perfect day to have a sweater on. We're going to look at weather on Max FM.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
We'll have a few flurries for a while yet this morning, but the sun will make an appearance by midday, and it will be less windy today. Partly cloudy this afternoon, up to 28. Tonight, mostly clear. 5 above tomorrow, partly cloudy, 20. We're back to near 30 by Sunday. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
99.7.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:25. Coming up next, where I'm hanging with Havel and Maddie right after Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it on Max FM.
This is our- It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments as we get ready for Monday Night Football. The Saints travel to Green Bay to take on your Green Bay Packers. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. Chris is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Good morning, Chris. How are you on this Friday?
Maddie, I am happy to be in the friendly confines of my house chatting with you and not out on the road somewhere. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's a good day in that regard, and everybody be careful and safe out there and all that good stuff. But, yeah, it's starting to look a lot like Christmas, right?
Yes, it is, absolutely. And, I mean, honestly, Monday night, if the Packers can come home with a victory or have a victory at home, I guess I should say, because they will be at Lambeau. I mean, that's about all the Christmas presents that Green Bay Packers fans could ask for this year, isn't it? I mean, we're almost to the end of the regular season, which is really hard to believe. And this is another year where this team, this very young team, too, is kind of turning it on at the right time.
It is for sure. And you look at their youth, how it's serving them. I think they are willing to understand they don't know it all. Coaches mm-hmm. might say otherwise at times, but it seems like they can learn from their lessons. And that does include the coaches, too, and how they use these players. And I think there is a tendency sometimes to forget that Jeff Hafley is a first-time NFL defensive coordinator and play caller. So the progression for the Packers, I think, has actually been what you might have expected going into the season. Now, you look at how they have won games and had to be pretty creative and all of that, but to have the third-ranked offense in the entire league, DVOA, which is the most important barometer, I guess most telling, and all of the stuff that they have out there, the 28 drops now, it has really slowed. They had 24 against the Lions after that game way back when, the 24-14 in the slop at Lambeau.
Yep.
Only 4 drops in the last 5 games since then. So the improvement is evident, and I know we're going to talk about that, but it's an exciting time to be a Packer fan right now. It really, really is.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, let's talk about some of the players before we jump into both sides of the ball and kind of what we expect against the Saints. Let's talk about some of the players who have really turned it on over the last few weeks. You got a guy like Dontavian Wicks, for instance. He's quietly caught 10 of his last 12 targets over the last 3 games. 6 of those 10 catches gained first downs. He's forced 4 missed tackles after the catch, and honestly, he's blocked really, really well, too. He had kind of a rough start to the season. I mean, there were a lot of drops. You know, they were only really bringing him out on the field on certain plays, so you pretty much knew what was going to happen when Dontavian Wicks got out on the field. There wasn't a lot of imagination there, but really, he's one of those guys who has kind of turned it on over the last few weeks, and this is an offense that needs that. They don't have that number one wide receiver, which everybody likes to make a big deal about, but when everybody gets a little bit more involved, it just makes them that more versatile and that much more dangerous. Lucas Van Ness on the defensive side of the ball, since the bye, he has a pass rush grade, according to PFF, of 82.9, putting him in 7th in the league, and a win percentage of 15.2, putting him 16th in the league right now. Now, that's not really a stat that we thought we'd say about Lucas Van Ness anytime, especially early in the season, but he's just another one of those guys where Hafley, on the defensive side, has found a role for him. So you mentioned kind of finding their stride, and this is just a couple of examples of guys doing that at this stage of the game.
Well, and I think people forget sometimes. You look at the receiving core as a group, and for me anyway, and I don't know if the coaches look at it like this necessarily, but Romeo Doubs is the guy who basically I think you start your game plan around to a degree.
Sure.
And then I think Dontavian Wicks is the guy who is the interchangeable part to Romeo Doubs. Similar body type, similar skill set. I don't think quite as good, maybe more explosive, but, I mean, Doubs would take exception to that because he's made plenty of big plays. But so one plays off the other. Now, when you have one or the other but not both, then I think a little more pressure, and we've seen how that's kind of lapsed in the receiving core. But when you have them both together and understanding and working off each other, I think it's a better situation. And Christian Watson really has, I think, kind of found himself his last couple of games now. Not perfect again, and he's still, we forget, sometimes a young player too. But I think Wicks is a great example on offense just because of the, you know, Matt LaFleur, there's a reason he always, almost without fail, mentions the downfield blocking with Wicks. And it, by way of almost defending why so many snaps, well, how about all those running plays and the passes that other guys caught that had nice blocks downfield? So I understand it. And Van Ness, boy, I mean, I'm your thought on him, because that's kind of quietly,
it
but the,
quiet.
The move away from Preston Smith has allowed Lucas Van Ness, Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox Jr., all to get more, Kingsley and Igbari, all to spread out this amount of snaps pretty well, play pretty fresh, and play pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned it. I mean, let's just jump into the defensive side, since you just mentioned two of the guys I wanted to bring up on that side of the ball anyway. Brenton Cox Jr. had 8 pressures last week, including 3 sacks across 63 pass rushing snaps, and that's since the bye, by the way. And Aaron Mosby, you also mentioned him, he has 5 pressures on 50 pass rushing snaps. So these are two guys, since the trade, who were mentioned outright by Goody as two guys that they were really hoping were going to be able to fill that Preston Smith role, and it seems like this is another example of guys just hitting their stride. I actually think this defensive line, no disrespect to Preston Smith, but I actually think this defensive line has been better, and the pass rush has gotten better since that trade. And I know a lot of people were a little afraid, like, where's your veteran presence going to be? I actually think there are guys who are young and are trying to prove themselves and really trying to solidify a spot in this defense or on this team just in general. And they've showed up in a lot of big ways. And last week against the Seahawks, boy, oh boy, that pass rush was dominant. And I'm actually really excited to see it again this week because, I mean, the Seahawks tackles were really, really good in comparison to what they're going to face in the Saints offensive line. For instance, the Saints right tackle, Trevor Penning, and I'm sure you know this, but for anybody at home, he's actually allowed 35 pressures this year, which is going to be a really fun and good matchup for Rashawn Gary, who seems to also just kind of hitting that point where he's really starting to understand the half-league defense. And so I'm a little excited to see what this line can bring again this week, and if they can continue the pass rush, you know, like they did against the Seahawks last week.
Well, it kind of seems the way the Packers' clearly preferred way to play is to have a Kenny Clark and a T.J. Slayton in the middle.
Sure.
And then 4 pass rushers of various body types and sizes don't seem to care because they have plenty of guys who can play the run or the pass that they believe in anyway, but can run down backs from behind, can run down these receiver screens that are just going, like Matt LaFleur said, like a wildfire throughout the league right now. And so if you have, you know, Clark and Slayton out there along with now Devontae Wyatt, who can still run, a little bigger-bodied guy, but then you add some of the pass rush around him with Anine Igbari.
He was disruptive last week, too. He got disruptive against that Saints line, for sure.
For sure. So I think individually they're working on their skills all the time, every day at practice, which we don't see. But then collectively, Rashawn Gary now is going to start, hopefully you would think anyway, benefiting from the other guys around him. Maybe that's what it takes to kickstart him and flush some things his way. Trevor Penning's a great opportunity for Rashawn Gary to go back to his days of training camp when he was dominating, you know, with no Zach Tom there. And maybe that'll get him going too. But I think in terms of, are they better, how are they doing without Preston Smith? Collectively, the defense has gotten better. Now, with Smith, without Smith, I think they've gotten better with him. This much better, this much younger, no.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about the guy I've been tooting his horn all season, because Adrian Cooper, I mean, come on now. He's actually the first Packers player this week to win NFC Defensive Player of the Week twice in a season. Clay Matthews was the last Packer to do that way back in 2010, and the first Packers rookie to win twice since its inception in 1984. Now, Adrian Cooper, in case you're wondering how good this kid could actually be, mind you, he's played less than 50% of available defensive snaps this season. He is the only rookie in the NFL this season to have 3-plus sacks, an interception, a fumble recovery, and a forced fumble. And I got to tell you, I am so excited about this kid if he can stay healthy. I have to honestly say, and you and I had a little text conversation about this week, I am so excited about him and Tyron Hopper in the middle of the field. And I know Tyron Hopper hasn't gotten the snaps. This might be the week we see a little bit more of them together. Quay Walker, obviously out with that bum ankle. We've heard reports that it might be several weeks before he's back on the field. And I got to say, I'm a little excited to maybe see this duo on the field for the first time. Now, I think Hopper will probably have some limited snaps, but against the Saints team, it might be the perfect opportunity to get him a few extra reps and into the game plan a little bit more. I'm excited about the future of these two guys on this team and in the middle of the field, honestly.
It's nice to have the – here's where the youth really comes in handy. If you've got a veteran backup or a couple of them at that linebacker, whatever position you want to pick, and it's this time of year – and now they're expected to try to get some more snaps. How much great effort are you really going to get out of them? Maybe right. Not. But when you've got guys like Hopper and Adrian Cooper who are just pups in terms of their mm-hmm. career, I mean, they are all in, all attentive, and ready to go. And it was proven by the fact that the strength and conditioning folks, in addition to the trainers, got Adrian Cooper up to full speed because he came back and didn't miss a beat. I mean, right. His speed was evident right away, so that was good to see. And he was in the game mentally because of the 3 weeks he was doing something, paying attention. Yeah. But I do think for a second-round pick, and you go back and you question drafts and all of that,
sure.
We don't know what Jordan Morgan's going to be. And I know there are fans out there saying, by golly, should have got a cornerback. When you do land the best inside linebacker in the draft at a position of need and you get him in the second round, and
agreed.
He is going to be the envy of everybody else, you'll get the corner. You'll get you'll get Morgan up to speed. Cooper is the bomb. And the other thing, there is a method to their madness. Now, I got to say, I get a little impatient, too. My partner in the afternoons, Marcus, does. We all want to see Adrian Cooper more snaps. We scratch our heads. Cooper only played, I think, 8 or 9 snaps against the Eagles the first time around. I got to tell you, they meet again. That's going to be a whole different scenario. Yeah. Who's tracking down Saquon Barkley? And Hopper didn't play. Evan Williams didn't play.
Right.
Hopper might have got us. No, I don't think so. So three guys that now are factoring in, but guess what? They're all important pieces. They're two rookie starters, and with Hopper being the third. And I think Hopper, I think you're pretty astute on Hopper because you've kind of liked him. I mean, he was hitting like a jackhammer in the limited preseason we've had. He is a thumper.
Goodness. And he's also got the same type of speed as Cooper, which also excites me because, let's be honest, how many years do you have to go back? I mean, I tried to think of somebody in the middle of the field that excited me, and I can't think of anybody that comes to the top of my head that I would say, yeah, that was a great guy in that position in the middle of the field.
Well, Devondre Campbell for one season, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, and
just
we saw
for one season. I mean,
I mean, it's and he was good, but was he exciting? No, he was serviceable, right?
No.
And
Nick Barnett. I mean, I'm going
Nick,
back.
See,
here
okay,
now.
And that's the one that I keep going back to.
AJ Hawk, but you know,
AJ Hawk again. Was he really that exciting? He was there, and especially
towards
the end
of his
season.
He was reliable. He was.
Yeah, exactly.
He was better than people thought, but there was a reason for that.
Exactly. But there hasn't been anybody exciting in that position that should scare a running back since Barnett. There hasn't been, especially on the Packers defense, right? And so
you're saying they haven't had a Ray Lewis, it's a big missing element to that defense. Now, you don't have to take a guy's helmet off to, but Cooper, like I said, can run down a Saquon Barkley. I mean, you have to be able to do that.
They have to be able to do that. And I get right now they're young, and you're going to see them make mistakes on the field. They are fortunate enough that their speed kind of overlooks some of the mistakes that they sometimes make. So I will contest that, and I will give that up. But that's just going to come with more reps, more time in the league. And really, you know, again, Cooper, I mean, he didn't miss a beat, but he has been injured a lot. So I think the more reps he gets, the more they're able to get him out there at practice, some of those mistakes are going to give way to actually being able to make those calls on the fly, right? I mean, it,
you
it
know
happens
it is.
In this
it's
league.
Like if you have a schematic of the house and you have the lower level, then the next you lay the on top of one another to look at it. I wonder if there's a layering with the teaching that goes on to really learn the scheme and the system and what Halfley wants from Cooper and from Hopper to a degree where I need him to know A, B, and C without fail, because everything that I'm incorporating here is based upon that. And if you don't have those three things down, whatever, maybe, and that could be for nuances in the game, whether you're nickel, whether you're base, well, you know, all of that, which changes two tight ends you're looking at. I mean, you know, when you start looking at it from Edgerrin Cooper's viewpoint, you'd love to have that body and be able to go sick him just as fast as anybody out there. On the other hand, that's a lot coming at a guy, and blockers from different angles. I'm guessing that there's a reason they haven't just said, here, go and do your thing, much like a Jordan Love, but it didn't take 4 or 3 years, whatever. So
right, exactly. Now, when it comes to the Saints game on Monday night, Spencer Rattler, we found out today, officially will get the start. It doesn't sound like running back Alvin Kamara, though, is going to be playing. He has a groin injury, so it sounds like he is going to be out in this particular game. For the Green Bay Packers, yesterday at practice, everybody was on the field except for Javon Bullard, who's still nursing that injury, and Quay Walker, as we mentioned. Now, you and I also had a conversation about this week, because Jair also practiced this week, and honestly, I'm kind of in the camp this week against the Saints with no starting quarterback, with no Alvin Kamara now, I think you sit Jair one more week, you let the guy get healthy, because on a really short week, you have a division opponent, a really good division opponent with Justin Jefferson as one of their wide receivers. And to me, you just let Jair get healthy. Make sure that PCL is 100% ready to go into what could be a stretch of playoffs for this team, and especially against the Vikings, right? So let's get him out there for a full game. Yeah. Let's keep him healthy. To me, I would sit Jair this week. I know that's not the popular opinion. I know a lot of fans are sick of Jair Alexander not being on the field. Guys can't help injury, and so I will give him a pass on that. But I would personally let Jair rest one more week and then see where he's at, and hopefully he's 100% against the Minnesota Vikings on a short week. That's kind of how I'm looking at the whole thing.
It seems very sensible, and I would agree with all of that. The only, because I'm trying to look at it from the Packers' viewpoint,
right?
One argument in favor of him playing is the rest of the locker room, when they're healthy and cleared, and they've done all the testing they can and everything else, they play, especially when you're paying a guy that much money. And now there may be something to look, in their timeline, this is when he was expected to be like back beyond any shadow of a doubt, okay? If that's the case, I'm not saying it is. I'm just trying to find reasons why they might play him. So if you have that, and you are pretty set on it's Carrington Valentine, your best configuration with your DBs, without Bullard especially, because that's another unknown that cropped up. But do you want to have Jair out there to get everybody a sense of understanding, playing together?
Sure.
Three games only before that wild card, and get him ingrained and in the mix. Now, I could buy all of that.
Sure.
If it's more of what you're saying, and you know what? We just think Stokes and Valentine and these guys, they all need snaps yet. They all need reps, and we got to – so maybe if that's another part of the reason to withhold Jair, then I could see it. But there might be something to want to get your guys out there and get them rolling with that guy. Maybe. I hope when he comes back like you do that he stays healthy and we don't
talk
about it.
We just never really got a firm timeline, because it was going to be whenever that tear was healthy. And we saw Jair, we all remember it, came in for 10 snaps against the Bears, couldn't handle it, and he's been out ever since, right? Yeah. And so I guess at this point, to me, and I get all of that, but if he's Jair Alexander and you know what he means going into the playoffs against some of these top receivers in the league, can you really bet on him being there if you push him too soon? I mean, that's all I keep thinking. And I guess,
Maddie, to the point of what you're saying right there with pushing him too soon, okay, things happen, even with the best of intentions and the greatest minds in medical science.
Right.
They may have pushed Jair, somebody did, too soon at Chicago.
Sure.
And now someone is, and trust me, from Harry Sidney to guys talking to in the locker room, one of the things coaches hate the most is when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
When
10
snaps and done. And now that's Jair, maybe a different cat, but I mean anyone. Because now let's go, we got to revisit the entire process, Maddie, of who talked to who said what, who made the decision.
Right.
How did he get on the field? And that was what we get. And maybe, for all we know, further injured or really aggravated.
Yes. Yeah.
No, they hate it. They're hacked. When they do that, because that's kind of like a, now that's a self-inflicted wound.
Right. Right. Yes, absolutely.
And they're paranoid. And they don't want it to happen again. What else? Because that's the other first thing. You know this to be true. Like one guy gets caught gambling. You don't think they're checking to make darn sure that everybody has it straight. When one guy slips through the cracks, and I'm just saying if this went with this way with Jair, now they've got to,
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just recheck everything again
and
all
that.
And
look at how long he's been out. I mean, that's what I keep going back to.
Who thought he was ready to play if he has been out this long after 10 snaps?
Exactly. And I just keep going back to the fact that he is a guy that is very engaged in the meetings. He's already been at practice, so I don't think you're going to lose anything or, need to warm him up to get him ready for playoffs. He's going to be ready. He's a professional. He's a vet, right? It's going to be there. I don't know. We'll see what they do with Jair. Obviously, we still have a couple of days because they play on Monday before the final verdict is out.
Yeah.
But we'll see what they do with him. But
I got to ask, Maddie.
I would err on the side of caution.
Did he just declare himself available and in Chicago and make that decision on his own?
Well, he's
as a game day active? I mean, I wonder,
He's flipped a coin on his own, so who knows?
Jeez, I mean, he was very proactive. I'll give him that.
That's right.
Well, but, I think sometimes he, they have to try to save him from himself. I bet he's very convincing, too.
Say.
He's pretty charming.
He's
very convincing. If he looks you dead in the eye and says, I can go, coach.
Yeah. You're going to believe him. You're going to buy it because he's Jair and he's just, that's how he is, right?
And then Chicago happens.
Yeah.
now it's the coach's call.
Right.
Okay,
he's
Jair.
One of those charismatic dudes, and I imagine he's probably a little hard to say no to every now and then, right? Let's turn to the offensive side of the ball here, because, this offense took a little bit to get warmed up. And it turns out that now this Green Bay Packers team has scored 30 or more points in four straight games, and I'm not even sure they're at cruising altitude yet. I still think there's more in that team, I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about them when I'm watching them on the team, and even if you're on the field, and even if you watched them last week against the Seahawks, even when that game felt very out of hand, in the third quarter, things kind of went a little wonky for them. You put some of the attributes from the other quarters into the third, and all of a sudden you're looking at, a 45-point game for this Green Bay Packers, which is why I don't believe they're at cruising altitude yet. And
no, I think there's more.
I do, and I don't think Jordan Love, for as well as he has played, is even at cruising altitude yet. He is actually tied right now with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson at the top of the league in passes out of play action. I mean, he is leading or in the top of the league in most quarterback statistics right now. It's absolutely phenomenal. In fact, since the week 11 bye, Jordan Love is third in completions at 63%, second in yards per attempt at 9.6, fourth in pressure to sack percentage, and second in passer rating. He's averaging like 116 passer rating in every game. And that's when he's under pressure. And by the way, he's actually been pressured at the sixth highest percentage in the league so far since week 11 at 41%. Those are pretty astronomical numbers, and that just tells me that the early stuff that we were seeing in the season, again, I'm going to attribute a lot of that to injury, because that's not the same player that we're seeing right now. I mean, it's absolutely crazy how a switch just kind of flipped for Jordan Love again once he got healthy.
Well, when he's healthy and he's got time, he's lethal. And there's
he's
just no two ways
lethal.
About it. Five straight, the last five straight games, he's been over 100 passer rating. Eight touchdowns to one pick in that time span. And in all five of those games, he's attempted fewer passes than points scored. And I think the one loss in there was the Lions game. He attempted 20 passes. They still put up 31 points. And the point with
44 plays, mind you. 44 plays.
Yeah, exactly. You can look at it that way, too. Number of plays. They are so not reliant on the pass to be able to have success. Now, I do think that that is the kind of the whole card for the Packers in the playoffs, where you might just be all geared up and sell out for the run, and that's your D plan, and that's a good plan, and it might work, and you might beat them. And they might come out and unleash just a torrent of passes, and like we haven't seen all season. Now, that would be, you know, then I wake up and go, okay, it was just a dream. I don't think so. I mean, that's possible because and Jacobs is still healthy.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got a lot of weapons that you can go to. And it seems to me, just a hunch, but if I had a big game I really need to win, Tucker Kraft's got to be part of it.
Tucker Kraft.
Maybe, you know, Matt LaFleur just kind of organically lets it happen.
Right. And you're getting Luke Musgrave back.
Yeah.
He gives the speed, though. Tucker Kraft, I mean, they're a little bit, you know, everybody always talks about the running back being position being a little bit like lightning and thunder, right? And I kind of see that with this tight end tandem, because Luke Musgrave has the speed, and I know he's going to have to get back into the game. He's missed a lot of time.
Right.
But he's got the speed, and he's not quite as physical, but then you've got Kraft over there, who is more physical, but can also handle the ball. He can take guys out. So you talk about the thunder and lightning of the running back position. I see it a little bit with this tight end position that they're trying to formulate in Green Bay as well with these two young tight ends.
Oh, I mean, I share the vision with you. I just don't know that's going to come together this season.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably next season once Musgrave's in more and healthy.
Oh my gosh, next season. I mean, you're going to see double tight end a fair amount, I would think, but that's not to rule it out, because last year when Musgrave and Kraft both were ready to go in the playoffs, LaFleur employed or deployed or whatever you want to, you know, double tight end right out of the jump. He couldn't wait to do it.
Yeah.
So you know that's in his mind. And he also did a little fiddling around here with two backs at the same time. And I'm not sure what kind of plan he's got for all of that. With
saw a couple pony packages against Seattle, too. Even if one was just used as a decoy, and I guess a couple of times he deployed two of them, and they didn't use either of them. They set up the pass. So
it seemed like the one, wasn't that the big pass play in the second drive to Jacobs, a 19-yarder, I think, where he had two backs and made it look like a pass left, hit Jacobs right, and gone, you know. He's a beast in the open field. Whoa.
If you watch some of the highlights from that Seattle game, both defensively and offensively, I mean, Halfley and LaFleur were in their bag. There was some beautiful stuff happening on the field on both sides of the ball.
Well, I think I said this before to you, but they did to Mike McDonald what O'Connell and Campbell did to Halfley.
Yes.
And LaFleur, absolutely. To a degree.
Absolutely. Now, I also think that a lot of Jordan Love's success this year has been because of his offensive line. And obviously, during the Detroit game, we talked about it. That was just abysmal. He didn't even have time to really set his feet before everybody was in his lap. But I found this to be really interesting today. There are only two offensive tackle tandems in the NFL that each have a top 15 Pro Football Focus passing grade. Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson of the Eagles, and Rashid Walker and Zach Tom of your Green Bay Packers.
Wow. You mean the two teams that are going to meet in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah. And let's be honest, I think if the Lions were healthy, they'd also be right up there. But boy, oh boy, I mean, you talk about a team who just keeps getting rocked by injuries. Now they've lost David Montgomery for the rest of the season, and holy buckets, they lost
Carlton
three more
Davis,
defense.
A big loss, because they put a lot on the corners when they lost Hutchinson.
Yep, absolutely. And then they lost their big defensive player, too, off the top of my head.
Lee McNeil's done for the season.
Yeah. So,
he cried on the way out. I mean, and he was their best remaining last standing D lineman.
I don't know. That's going to be really hard to sustain. This is a really great
team. Well, their best
hope,
Maddie, is Jared Goff and the offense can drag him to the regular season finish line as the number one seed and get that week off and then take your best shot with two home games and hope you win them both. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, everything I just said there is a tall order.
You're looking at Carlton Davis, who will be out at least 6 weeks because of a jaw injury. So you're looking at a chance, if they make it far into the playoffs, that he'll just come back at the end of those. like I feel for Lions fans, right? Because Packers have had those types of seasons. And I do feel for Lions fans who are so exuberant, and it's hard to be that excited for a division opponent. But, you know, it's the Lions, and you want to see them do something. I mean, there's been a drought in Detroit. But we feel you, Lions fans. Packers fans have seen their share of injuries over the years as well. Now, when it comes to this offense on Monday night, I feel like there's going to be a heavy dose of Jacobs because that's what they've been doing all year. But I think they can open up the pass a little bit more on this Saints team because, you know, last year when they played the Saints, their cornerback, their slot corner, Taylor, you know, he broke up three passes, but he also gave up a few big plays to Jaden Reed along the way as well. But this year, there's no cornerback in football who has actually missed more tackles or allowed more catches. 18 and 68 are those numbers respectively for Taylor this year. So I figure that do you target him a little bit? Do you open up the pass against him? Maybe see if you can get Jaden. They like to move guys around. So Jaden Reed, Christian Watson in that position with Taylor trying to do a little blocking. I feel like you could open things up a lot with some play action.
Josh Jacobs, they may come out right away and get him some work. But if you get a lead, I got to think we're going to see Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. And just to be very mindful of Josh Jacobs' number of snaps and all of that at this time of the season, kind of save him from himself. Because, you know, he's not here to the rushing yardage and all that. It's to win games and stay healthy. So in that regard, and then in the pass game, you know, a little more Jaden Reed and certainly in Bo Melton. I'd like to see a little reemergence of Malik Heath, perhaps, and Bo Melton, and get maybe get the whole room involved, the receiver room, and not just continuing to target certain guys. Yeah,
you're going to need them down the stretch for sure. Let them start getting their feet wet a little bit more. As we've kind of that's been the theme it feels like this morning talking about this team. But let those guys get their feet wet. You're coming up into some really big games, and the following Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, it's going to take all the manpower you want because Brian Flores is not going to make it easy on you.
That'll be a dandy noon kickoff, and I'm glad for the noon kickoff. I got no problem with that.
Yes,
didn't mind seeing it not flexed.
Yes, I totally agree. Now, when it comes to this particular game, the Green Bay Packers are now 13.5-point favorites at home versus the Saints, and that was before the news of Kamara not playing. At least that's where it opened. There's been some betting lines that have moved up to 14.